How many of you have ever, how many of you like games? Does anybody like games? How many of you are the mind game people? Like you like to think in games and like to think about it, study about it. Okay, some of you like that. How many of you the action type games that like to be moving and doing something like that? So there was a game that we used to play, and you're probably familiar with it back when we were younger days, but it's called Hide and Go Seek. Does anybody like to play? Does anybody ever played Hide and Go Seek at least one time? Has everybody played Hide and Go Seek at least one time? Okay, so y'all can relate to this. So in the Hide and Go Seek game, one person is the, is what we used to call them it. Is that what you called them? I mean, they're the seeker. They're the one that's the finder. They're not the person who's it would hide their eyes, count to a certain number. Did y'all have a number y'all counted to? 2,500 or something like that. Everybody else scatters. They go running. They hide, and then whoever it is, their job is to do what? Find the other people. And then when you find them, now what did you do when you find them? Did y'all have to tag them? Okay, so I had to tag them. You tag them, and then you go find them. You're trying to almost like collecting up all the lost things. Is that the way it is? Now, there's another variation of that people do today that's called sardines. Have anybody ever played sardines before? Anybody familiar with that? So it's a younger game or a new game. Sardines is similar to hide and go seek, but it's a little bit the opposite, if you would. Instead of everybody going to hide, only one person goes to hide. Okay, and then everybody else is searching for the one person. However, when you find the one person, you have to stay with that person wherever they're located. And so as everybody finds you, for instance, if Lindy goes and he hides in the broom closet in the other building, and Jason goes and he finds Lindy, then they both have to stay in the same spot. And then Devin comes up and he finds them, they stay. And so what ends up over time is you end up packing everybody into a closet that looks like a bunch of sardines in there. So there's different variations of these games. So you got the sardines game, you got hide and go seek. But in these games, they're fun to play. Now I want to know, who in hide and go seek felt like they were a better hider than they were a seeker? If you felt like you could hide really good, let me see your hands, okay? Now, so the rest of you are better seekers. You're able to think like, you understand, in order to seek people, you got to think, where would that person go? Where would that person hide at? How would they hide? You know, and you have to think and logistically think and think about where they go and then go and look for it and all this. But let me tell you this. When we're really lost in real life, it's not funny, is it? It's not fun at all, is it? When we can't find our way back to where we're supposed to be or find our way back when we're lost somewhere, it's very unsettling. It's unnerving that it just gives us an anxiousness. There's all kinds of feelings that we have. So it's not like the game. So in one, I guess it's sort of like these haunted houses. You know, it's funny to me that everybody goes to the haunted houses to be scared, right? They want to be scared and have that. But yet, if that happens at their own house, that ain't funny. You know, you jump out at people in your house, that ain't funny. You know what I'm saying? Somebody comes out in my house with a chainsaw, that ain't funny, okay? So it just depends on the situation. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about this lost and found concept. It speaks a lot about it in the Old Testament, New Testament. But Jesus himself speaks a lot to people being lost and people being found. In fact, Jesus basically says that he did not come here to play the person who hides. Jesus says, I've come to be the seeker. In fact, that is my objective in life. In Luke chapter 19, he says, for the Son of Man, and that's another term that they call Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which is lost. So Jesus is saying, my purpose on earth is to be the best seeker that there ever was. All the people playing hide and go seek, all the people playing hide and doing the hiding part, my purpose in life, my purpose to come to this earth, my purpose as Jesus Christ, the Son of God on earth, is to seek those that are lost, a.k.a. also known as those who are hiding. Jesus says, I'm it. That's what I come. And not only do I come to find them. I come to do something else. I come to save them. So Jesus is describing to us, he says, my purpose in life is to come and find and save that is lost. Now, last week we began a series, and we're continuing over this week and next couple of weeks, on being lost. And last week we took a passage and we read through it and we looked at things through the perspective of what it was like to be the one who was lost. And I'm going to remind you of those things today. We're going to read this passage again. I know it's like, oh, he doesn't have anything else to preach on. He's going to read the same thing. No, I've got a different angle I'm going to preach on this. So it's called The Parable of the Lost Sheep. So it begins like this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Now this is Jesus is the him. So it's all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Now these Pharisees and scribes are basically the religious people, the people who control the religion of that particular religion, the Jewish nation, okay? So they see Jesus and doing these things were the tax collectors and sinners, the people who are just people who got issues, kept coming near to Jesus just to hear him. They just wanted to be near him. They just wanted to be close to him. And so these religious leaders said this man receives sinners and he eats with them. So their big issue is, man, it's one thing for them to be all this, say he's religious, but he hangs out with the rough people, the bad people, the people who are not, they're just not good people. Or maybe they just don't have it all together. And Jesus is coming and he's not only just hanging out with them and talking to them like he's a teacher and they're coming to listen to him, he's eating with them. And they couldn't get it. They could not get their minds around this concept of this rabbi, this teacher, this religious leader like themselves, hanging out with people like that. And so they're mumbling among themselves. So Jesus makes up this story. He makes up what's called a parable. Now understand, a parable is a story that is not it's not an actual historical account of things. It's just a story. And so Jesus made up this story to help the people who he's talking to relate to the truth that he's trying to get them to understand. That's what every parable is. Every parable has at least one, maybe more truths to it than one, but it has at least one truth, and it's just a story or an illustration to get the audience or the people to understand it. So Jesus tells them a parable. It says, so he told them this parable saying, what man among you, having 100 sheep, and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. Now, I just want to point this out. These aren't shepherds. These are religious leaders. These are Pharisees. Now, there might have been some shepherds and other people around there. These are religious people. That's why it's a parable. If he was talking to sheep, it would be a story or a parable, but they might understand it. But he feels like these people can relate to this story. Maybe they're not themselves a shepherd, but maybe they know something about being a shepherd, or they know some shepherds, or they got somebody in their families that's shepherd, and they know how this life goes of a shepherd. So this is why he's giving the story. So he says, what man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now, I know that you aren't a shepherd. I don't know that there's about a couple of shepherds that's in this area. There's one guy over there that trains sheepdog. That's why he has sheep over there near Bullock Academy on that road. I've gone over there and watched him train sheep. And there's some other sheep in this area. But for the most part, we aren't sheep or we aren't shepherds. But I'm trying to convey to you that when Jesus told this parable, he knew that it would be told years and generations after his life, even to this day and time now. So there must be something in here that you can relate to. So I know you're going, well, I don't know anything about sheep, but I just want you to think about this for a moment and see if you can relate to it in some way or another. He says, so wouldn't you, if you had 100 sheep, losing one of them, don't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he places it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Then he comes home and he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. I have found my sheep. I have found my sheep." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I have found my sheep, which was lost." The main thing was, I found my sheep. And then comes, which was lost. He didn't say the description. I want you to just get this, because this is just something new I'm coming out with right this minute, in this moment. He didn't say, "Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep." He doesn't describe it. He says, "I found my sheep." Lost isn't attached to it. See, some of us in this room, we're lost. But Jesus doesn't see us as being lost. He just sees you as being his. You tracking with me? But the description that we use to describe ourselves is, we're lost sheep. He just says, "You're my sheep who were lost." He says, "For I have found my sheep which was lost. Likewise, I tell you," now he's going on, he says, "there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99, over the one, than who repents over the 99 righteous men who need no repentance." So last week when we talked about this, we talked about a few things that we focused on from the sheep's perspective, from the one sheep, not the 99, from the one sheep. And before we did that, we described, what does it mean to be lost? And we said that being lost means something or someone is not where it's supposed to be. Something or someone is not where it's supposed to be. It's unable to find their way. In other words, it's somewhere it's not supposed to be, or it's unable to find its way back. Or another way that we said it, it doesn't know its whereabouts. It doesn't know exactly where I am. I'm not sure where I am, but I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I'm not sure of the way to get back. That's what we considered being lost. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and break this to you. Jesus isn't talking about sheep. He's talking about people. You with me? He's talking about people. And in fact, he's really saying, "I'm the shepherd going after my sheep. I'm the person or the one coming after my people. My people who aren't where they're supposed to be. My people who are unable to find their way back. My people who just don't know their whereabouts." So another perspective from that lost sheep's perspective, or that lost person's perspective. What matters most when you're lost, and we talked about that, what matters most when you're lost is what? Being found, not being lost anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been told by my parents when I was growing up as a young boy, if you ever get lost, if you're ever in the mall and you get lost, if you're ever in the shopping center and get lost, do you know what my parents told me to do? They said, "You just keep wandering around till you find me. You just wander around. You just keep walking out of the mall. Sooner or later, you'll come across me. I'll be going ahead and do my shopping over here." My daddy used to say, "I'm going to go do my shopping." Mama say, "I'm not worried about you." That's not what they tell you. What do they tell you to do? My parents told me, sit down and start looking for me. Don't keep wandering around. Just be still, and I'm coming. That's important. My mom and daddy said, "You just stand there, sit there, find a bench, sit down, because we're coming." At some point in time when you're lost, the person that's responsible for you, I guess, is going to come look for you. But if you keep moving while they're, you understand, you just might chase them the rest of your life and never catch them. But if you stand still, put your hand, look, where are you? I know you're coming. I know you're coming. So what matters most when we're lost is being found, putting ourselves in a place to be found, understanding, and our hope is put in someone who cares is looking for me. Someone who cares is looking for me. See, we also said last week that from that sheep's perspective, and what we learned last week, it's not, the sheep's not lost because it was away from the 99. The sheep is lost is because it's away from the shepherd. The lostness isn't because it's away from the group, People aren't lost because they're away from the church. People aren't lost because they're away from a small group. People aren't lost because they're away from people. People are lost because they're away from the shepherd. People are lost because they're away from Jesus. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're unable to find their way back. They just don't know their whereabouts. Now, if we switch today and we think about the perspective of the shepherd, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So the sheep know these things. Well, what do we know about the shepherd? So what matters most from the shepherd's perspective when the shepherd has lost something important to them? If you're the shepherd and you lose something important to you, something valuable, whatever you want to say it, something that's important to you, what's the most important thing to you if you're the seeker? Finding it. So you got a lot in common with the sheep. One wants to be found, and you're wanting to find it. And also we understand that in this part of this relationship, that from the shepherd's perspective, the sheep isn't lost because it's not where it's supposed to be at the 99. Where does the shepherd really want the sheep to be? With me. You see, they've got a lot in common, don't they? The sheep wants to be found. The shepherd wants to find it. The sheep wants to be with the shepherd. The shepherd wants the sheep with him. So let's look at this again, and we're going to look at this passage again with those things that we know right now and see what it looks like from the shepherd's perspective. Verse 4 says, "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost?" And what's those last words? "Until he finds it." Which one of you would not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Let me tell you a couple things from the shepherd's perspective. This is personal. The shepherd personally goes after it. Shepherd personally goes after what is lost. He doesn't send the sheepdogs. He doesn't have a hired man. He doesn't say, "These 99 are more important. I'm going to take my son or my grandson or go get a hired person, pay them $10 to go look." It's personal to me. So for the shepherd, when one of the sheep's lost, it's personal. It's personal. He humbles himself, if you will. The shepherd humbles himself and says, "I might own all of these 100 sheep, but I'm humbling myself to go down and be a regular, whatever it needs to be. I'm going to find that is mine. I'm going to look for that which is lost." The other thing that we realize here is he looks until he finds it. So when does he stop looking? What? Preston, you're the only one that got that. Everybody, I mean, I sit there and I read it to him. I said, "Until he finds it." I said, when does he stop looking? What if that takes 2 days? What if he doesn't find it for a week? When does he stop looking? He doesn't stop until he finds it. What if it's a month? What if it's a year? What if it's 2 years? How long will the shepherd look for that which is lost? Until he finds it. I'm going to sit there and look for my mom and dad until they find me. Because I know they're coming. I know they're coming. So from this perspective, the shepherd displays patience. If it takes a week, I'm not stopping. If it takes 2 weeks, I'm not stopping. If it takes a month, a year, I'm not stopping. He demonstrates perseverance. It doesn't matter if they're heels. I'm not stopping. It doesn't matter if there are valleys. I'm not stopping. It doesn't matter if it rains, if it's hot, if it's cold. I'm not stopping until. When will the shepherd stop looking? He won't stop until he finds it. Let's change that. Until he finds me. Until he finds me, he won't stop looking. Doesn't matter if I've been lost a long time. Doesn't matter if it seems like it's been longer than I can remember. He won't stop looking for me until he finds me. And it's personal to him. Verse 5 says this. "And when he has found it," or "when he has found me," or "when he has found that is lost, He places it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So from the shepherd's perspective, what we find out is that he personally picks it up and he holds on to it while he rejoices. This is more. There's something more here than this is just one of my sheep that is valuable. It's worth $95.85 on the market today. Whatever. It's more than a value. It's more than I can use its wool. It's more than that. It's more than that for this shepherd to look for it. And so he picks it up and he holds it. So he takes and uses kindness. And the sheep has to be willing to be picked up. Sometimes the sheep run. Sometimes they're hurt. Sometimes they're injured. Now, let me ask you this. Now, the sheep has been found, let's say, but it's got a broken leg. And when the shepherd comes to pick him up, it runs away because it's scared. Will the shepherd stop because he's found it? What's he going to do? He's going to, come on, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. He's going to display kindness. He's going to take that sheep and say, it's going to be okay. I know you're hurt. I know you're scarred. I know you're hungry. I know you're wet. Come, and he holds him. And he protects him. And then this shepherd rejoices or celebrates. And listen, it's a private celebration. It's a private rejoicing. It's just the sheep and the shepherd. It's just you and Jesus. When he finds you, no matter how broken you are, no matter how hurt you are, it's not about the church. It's not about the other sheep. It is about you and me being together again. And so he shows us kindness and he protects us and he celebrates. I'm so happy I found you. I'm so happy that you're here. Been lost before. Actually, you heard the story last week. I've grabbed the wrong person's hand before, if you were here last week, and thought that was my father, and it wasn't. But I was so happy. They're both just a celebration to be together when you're lost. And so he rejoices and he celebrates. And then this other thing happens. He brings the sheep home. Brings the sheep back to the rest of the flock. See, here's something you got to understand. As the shepherd is going to find the sheep, the shepherd never gets lost. The shepherd always knows his way back home. This isn't like the game of sardines, that when the one that's searching finds the other somewhere, like in a broom closet or somewhere, and stays with them there and leaves them there. And then they wait for somebody else. This shepherd takes them up and picks them up and says, let's go back home. Let's go back home because home is where it's safe. Home is where there's peace. When you're with me and we're together and we come back to this place, we're surrounded by others that are like us. We actually come to a place that we would say is where I belong. And so the shepherd shows kindness and protection. He rejoices and he celebrates privately and he grabs that sheep and he knows his way back home and he brings us home to that safe and peaceful and where others are like us in the place that I belong. And guys, this isn't about sheep, is it? It's about people. Remember, this story started out about people who were sinners, who were tax collectors, who the religious people were saying, we can't talk to them. They're bad. It's people who have different values than you. It's people who have been beaten up by the world and they're not sure what's right anymore. Or they think they know what's right, or they think they can live alone. They think they can live in isolation. They think it's better to be out there. But there's times in their life and in our lives, we just want to be held by the shepherd and know that somebody cares. And would be willing to come look for us no matter how far we've gone away. Verse 6 says this, and then he comes home. So he's got the sheep. You get this image in your hand of him having the sheep, and he's holding. He's talking about, I've missed you so much. I'm so glad you're here. I don't think he's saying, Dad, do you know how much trouble you put me into for coming after you? I've wasted 2 years looking for you. I don't think that's celebration to you. What do you mean, leaving me? Don't you know it's better to be with me than be away from me? What do you mean, doing these things that you did, behaving like you did? That's not rejoicing. That's not celebration. That's berating. And it doesn't say he's berating them. It doesn't say he's getting on them about how they got lost, why they got lost, why they left the flock, why they. It just says, I'm so glad to have you here. And this is a private thing as they're walking, but it says that he brings them home. And he calls his friends, neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which happened to be lost. I found my sheep, which happens to be lost. This isn't just a thing between the shepherd and the sheep. This isn't just a thing between a person and Jesus that he just loved you for that moment. But when he gets around other people, he gets around other religious people, he gets around the community of 99, that he changes his tone. See, some people think it's a bait and switch that Jesus comes and he gets you and he helps you and he finds you when he's lost and he brings you back, and then you get over here to the 99 and then he changes. And things are different when you're over here. Now you got to fall in line. Now you got to do these things. Now you got to do that. No. It's the same Jesus. He rejoices not with you personally and privately. He rejoices because he's found you in front of the group. In fact, he elevates you. He takes you from being lowly and being lost and being all these labels that life puts on you, and he pulls you up and he holds you to him and he says, look, this is my sheep. Rejoice with me. Celebrate with me, because this is my sheep that happened to be lost. But I found it. I didn't give up. So what we see is this is a big deal to the shepherd. The shepherd is a big deal. It means something. This has to be more than wool that's sheared off a sheep. When I was speaking at the other church, this sort of came to me while I was speaking, and it happens. It's sort of, I get thoughts in my head while I'm speaking that's not on my notes, but here's the thought that came in my head when I was over there. If there's 99 over here and there's one over there, there's sheep, right? You tracking with me? Don't you imagine there's some boys and girls, sheep, in that group? You agree with that? It didn't say they're all males. It doesn't say they're all. Would you agree there's some boys and girls sheep in there? If I wait a year, how many sheep you think I'll have if I protect those? They might be like rabbits. You understand what I'm saying? That's 150 be like rabbits. They like getting it. You understand? They this be fruitful and multiply. They got that down pat. I just wait. I want you to understand that concept. If I just wait with these 99, I'll have at least 100. But he didn't wait with the 99. He didn't trust them to be fruitful and multiply. Let them be fruitful. Let them multiply. This one that's gone is worth everything to me. Do you understand that? He leaves that. This would happen naturally to this shepherd. That one matters. More than the 99, more than the future 110, more than the future 250, I'm not coming back till when? I found it. I know this is going to, something I have, I'm not coming back till I find the one, until I find you. So what would cause a shepherd or Jesus to look for somebody like that, to display humility, to display patience, to display kindness? What would cause Jesus to display, to protect and persevere, or to rejoice and celebrate privately, or to rejoice and celebrate publicly? What would cause Jesus to trust that the one that's lost at some point in time would stop? He'd find him. What would cause Jesus to search until he finds it, no matter how much time that takes? One reason, in my mind. One reason my mom and dad would search for me till they found me if I was lost. One reason. Four-letter word. Starts with L, ends with E, and it's got O and V in it. That's about as much hints as I can get you. One reason is what? Is it love? Is it love for the 99? Is it love for the group? He's got love for the group. He's got love for the 99. But it's that personal love for the one. It's that personal love for you and me. And Jesus will not stop till he finds you. And just because you're in the flock of 99 doesn't mean that you're found. That means you're with the 99. But for each of us, there's stuff inside of us that causes us to be lost in various areas of our life. Maybe we have a hard time trusting. Maybe the system or the 99 burned us. Maybe the 99 is the reason we left, because they kept picking on me, kept saying I wasn't fitting up to their standard. Maybe the 99 were being managed or controlled by Pharisees and Sadducees about you have to walk this way, you got to do these things, you can't do this way, you can't. You understand what I'm saying? Think of all the societal rules and the regulations. You can't live together, you can't be gay, you can't be this, you can't be. You think of all the things. You can't have had a past, you couldn't have gone to jail, you can't. Can't do it. Think of all the things that society or things would tell you, or these religious people would tell you, and Jesus is saying, that doesn't matter now. These are lost. That one is lost, and I love that one. I'm leaving you to go find the one. So why in the hell are you getting on to me for doing what I was created to do and find that which was lost? That's Jesus' purpose. Why would you be upset that I'm eating and talking with the sinners and the tax collectors who are lost and who just want to be found, who are holding their hands up and say, I have stopped running and I'm right here, Jesus. I just want to hear what you say. I just want to feel you say it's okay and bring me back home. Then why would we make a big deal about some things that the church makes a big deal about and not about love? As you know, I'm in the midst of a season where I'm doing a lot of weddings. I did 2 this week. And over the course of the next several weeks between Thanksgiving, I'll do 7 in 7 weeks. And one of the passages that I use in some of those, and sometimes I use different ones depending on what the couple chooses or what I choose, is this passage from 1 Corinthians that the writer Paul talks about love. And I'm going to read a portion of this to you. And I want you to hear this portion that I'm about to read to you from 1 Corinthians 13 through the lens of what you've just heard in this story. And tell me if this love, this motivating thing that we're saying, this motivation behind why Jesus does what he does, love, if some of these things are what you see him display as a shepherd or as the seeker trying to find that which is his that is lost. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, and it doesn't boast about it, and it's not prideful. It does not dishonor others. You know, when I hear that, I'm sorry. It does not dishonor others. It doesn't say, this is why you're why are you lost? And no, it doesn't dishonor them. It still honors them when they're lost and picks them up. It is not self-seeking. It's not about me. It's about you and my love for you. Maybe you don't love me like I love you, and that's okay, because this is about me and how much I love you, because I'm not stopping until I find you. It is not easily angered. No, on that walk back, no, I'm not going to be angry. I'm happy because my sheep has been found that happened to be lost. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The truth is, you're better with me. Jesus is saying, you're better with me than with anything else. You're better with me. You're better with me more than with the flock. But when the flock is with me, then we are better together. It always protects. When you're in my arms, no one will snatch you out of my hands. I've got you. I'm going to always protect you. You can always trust me, because it always, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. And it always perseveres. In other words, love never fails. That motivating thing behind Jesus in this world is not about creating a religion. The motivating thing behind why Jesus does what he does, why his disciples who have been trained by him try to do what he does, why individuals like you who are in the process of being found, who are in the process of being carried back, who are in the process of being celebrated once we're back, or you're in the process of just sitting there knowing I don't have it together and I need to be found. Any part of those processes, we know that we're called to do what Jesus did. Because Jesus said this other thing one time. When you see me do things, I'm only doing what I see my Father in heaven do. Which means God loves you that much that he came to earth in the form of Jesus to find you and to seek that which is lost. So as we close out the day, I don't know where you are on this spectrum of life. Maybe you're heading off not needing and thinking you can do without the love of the shepherd. Maybe you think you're running from the 99, from the church or the religion that has not treated you fairly for where you are in your walk of life or in this stage of your life journey. I love Jesus, but I don't love you, church. Maybe you're somewhere and Jesus is saying, I'm coming for you. And when I get you, things are going to change. And maybe you're part of the 99 that maybe Jesus is saying to you, maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to do more things out of love, not out of the value they bring to the church, but out of the love that God had for us. Perspective means a lot. It means a lot. So how do you see people? And how are you treating people? Is it with love? May that begin, if it hasn't happened yet, may that begin today, that the depth of your love grows as Jesus' love has grown for you every day. Because I'm going to tell you this, last thing. For some of you that's been wondering a long time and think, I'm not worth it. For some of you who've got it going on together, but there's some dark, deep secrets inside of you, and you go, I'm not worth it. I just want to tell you this. And just think about this. Because remember, this story went, if you had 100 sheep, what would you do? Because it's going off this assumption you love them, right? If you had been lost for one day and he came and found you, they'd be great celebration, right? But what if it took you 2 months to find him? If you went looking, do you think the celebration would be greater after 2 months than it was if it was one day? Still be a celebration. What if you looked for it for 2 years? Because you ain't gonna stop till you find it. Do you think that celebration would be pretty big? What if it was 10 years? Would that celebration be big? What if it's been all your life? Can you imagine the celebration of Jesus when he gets you and he holds you? See, so I don't care how long it's been or how far you feel like you've gone. The further you are away, the greater the celebration. Because he's coming and he's not stopping until he finds you. He won't stop until he finds you. Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save, to find and to save that was lost. So open your eyes, he's there. Let us pray.